This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
Yeah, Joe Biden messes up when he starts talking about his mental fit. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Zeoli Show on Twitter at Rich Zeoli and Facebook.com/Zeoli Show, 855-839-1210. We have an hour of nonstop talk for you, unprecedented in morning drive radio. It's great to have you with us today. Here's the thing. The thing with Biden is, and again, you know, I mentioned this, trying to make the argument that both he and Trump have cognitive decline issues doesn't work politically speaking, because Trump already has the job. And nobody is going to replace somebody who has the job with somebody who doesn't have the job who has cognitive issues. It just doesn't work. It's a bad point that the anti-Trump groups try to make to try to protect Joe Biden by going, well, look, Trump can't pronounce Yosemite. It doesn't matter. He's already got the job. It's harder to fire people at your workplace than it is to bring on somebody who's not very good. That's just the reality of life. It's how people think. And so people go, well, maybe I'll stick with the guy I know. I don't know. Here's Joe Biden trying to explain his China policy, first of all. Trying to explain his China policy. Not really sure how exactly this works, but anyway, cut number six.
The way China will respond is when we gather the rest of the world that, in fact, believes in open trade and making sure that we're in a position that the world, that we deal with WHO the right way. That in fact, that's when things began to change. That's when China's behavior is going to change.
Huh? What? When? Who? With the WHO and the what and the go? You know the thing. I mean, China controls the World Health Organization. China trades with everybody. That's the problem. Is that, for example, in the United States of America, there's a story in the Wall Street Journal today how our pharmaceutical supplies, our drugs, we are way too dependent on China, even for everything like Tylenol, which is made in China now. Every drug we have is made in China for the most part. Antibiotics and pain pills. And the whole point of this big Wall Street Journal article is how China also has the market on almost drugs for every country in the world, where they make the drugs for almost every country in the world. So what are they talking about? Trade? He's acting like China, like this is Nixon opening up China, where China's not part of the world community yet. But it's just he doesn't know. That's the problem, is he doesn't know. So this issue of cognitive decline has come up before with Joe Biden, obviously. And, you know, the question of whether or not he's got all his marbles there. Has he taken a test? At one point, he said he took a test, and his campaign clarified and said he didn't take a test. Joe Biden, cut four.
Please clarify specifically, have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags about his test and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's
talking
about.
Let's stop it here, Bill, and just back it up to Joe Biden's beginning of the answer here. But so the first part of that, you hear him go, wow, are you a junkie? This African-American reporter asking him this question here. And then Joe Biden turns around and goes, well, are you a junkie to the guy? You know, talking about getting a cocaine test. His campaign, by the way, is trying to spin that like he was just bringing up a random test. Why not do a random test before an interview? But I hear that like it sounds like he's asking the guy, well, why don't you get a test? Why don't you get a test so we make sure you're not a junkie? And everybody went, what the hell? Why would he say that? Why would he even bring that up? Why would he go there? You know, it's like voters have a legitimate point about wondering if their candidates are certifiable or not. But also, Joe Biden has always supported drug tests his entire career, by the way. Drug testing athletes, drug testing people in business. Joe Biden has been a drug testing advocate. Totally invading of people's privacy and liberties, by the way. Joe Biden has been all about that. You ask Joe Biden, you want to test kids in school for drugs? Absolutely. But he acts like, why would you test you? Make sure you're not a junkie? What is that? He starts laughing. You know, instead of actually bringing up the point and going, well, if Americans have questions about my cognitive issues, I'm happy to take a test and put aside any speculation. Maybe I make some stumbles here and there, but I believe me, I got it all together. I just maybe once in a while on these Zoom interviews, I stumble or stutter on my words. I mean, there's a way to spin that. Right? Like, there's a way to spin that. You know, I fought a stutter my whole life, and so every now and then I mess up words, but believe me, I'm all here. I've been doing this my whole life, and everybody should know and not worry, and sure, I'll take a cognitive test. No problem. Instead, his answer is, what are you, a junkie? Huh? Why don't we do a cocaine test on you? What? All right, now, so then he gets into Trump with an elephant and a lion. Go ahead.
If he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me.
Did you watch what?
But, I mean,
hang on a second here. Did you watch what? He does this a lot, Biden, if you notice. He starts to say something and he goes, come on, man, because he forgets what he's going to say. If he can't tell the difference between an elephant and a lion, did you watch that? Come on, man. Watch what? What is he talking about? Keep going.
Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but I mean, I'm so forward looking to have an opportunity.
Stop right there. Joe Biden says, I know you're trying to goad me. So the campaign spin is that he was just bringing up a random drug test. He wasn't actually asking the guy if he needs a drug test, the interviewer. He wasn't actually accusing or questioning if the black reporter is a junkie. He was just bringing up a random drug test. But the problem with that is Joe Biden in the interview clearly says, I know you're trying to goat me. So he got annoyed with the question and he hit back with, well, maybe we should do a cocaine test on you. Find out if you're a junkie. Because that's what Biden does. He gets nasty with people. When everybody, if a person comes over and confronts him on something, remember they tell the guy, sit down, fat, accuse the guy of staying on his couch all day, told somebody, don't vote for me, called somebody else a lion, dog face, pony soldier. Whenever somebody confronts Biden with something he doesn't like, he gets nasty, becomes like a schoolyard bully, and just starts insulting people. It's what he does. And he's doing it again with this interviewer. Go ahead.
I'm so forward looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates. There can be plenty of time. And by the way, as I joke with him, you know, I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say. Anyway, I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental fitness. And to make a judgment about who I am.
Joe Biden needs to come out and explain why he can't say the word fitness. My physical and mental fitness. Now, look, the guy had a stutter his whole life. So maybe that's what this is. He gets nervous and he stutters or something. I don't know. But, you know, when you can't say the word fitness, when you're talking about your own fitness, when you can't actually say the word as you're trying to communicate to people that you have good mental fitness, you blow your entire argument there. I'm happy to prove my mental fitness. What's going on here? But I'm telling you right now, he's so angry that he has to even get these questions, and he gets nasty with people. His whole career, he's done this. Just goes out there and just starts waging personal attacks on people. Ah, you're a lion, dog face, pony soldier, aren't you? Sit down, fat. You get off the couch a little bit, huh? Well, why don't you go vote for somebody else then, huh? I mean, so start the interview over for me, Bill, if you would, because given that context, you tell me if you think that Joe Biden is really just bringing up a random drug test question or if he's accusing the guy, the interviewer himself, because he's nasty and he doesn't like the fact that he got asked this question. Go ahead.
Please clarify specifically, have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags
about— There you go.
About—
so he says before, are you? So he's directing it at the reporter because he's angry. He doesn't like the fact that he got asked that question. That's what that is. That's him being nasty Joe Biden again. For all the stuff about Joe Biden being a sweetheart of a man, as Lindsey Graham says, he gets very nasty with people. Now, you know, checking in on social media from our friends at Cherry Hill Vava, who sponsored this check-in, Mike, Mine Gergen says, in all seriousness, I wonder if he will make it to November. Recent reporting makes me think there's something bigger happening. He's delayed his VP pick. Michelle has low depression, leaving Cruella a more likely pick. VP announcement is postponed again. I assume he means Cruella. I think he means probably Kamala Harris. I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, it's good to question if Joe Biden is going to make it to November, but the better question that voters are going to ask themselves is, can this guy be president for 4 years? Because I'm hiring you to do a job that has a 4-year job requirement. I don't want to have to replace anybody in the middle of doing the job. So again, if you think about it from that perspective, and by the way, Cherry Hovavo's hiring, I should mention that too. Judith reached out to me the other day. She heard me talking about this job fair for veterans, and she said, we're hiring because we're doing so well at Cherry Hovavo, thanks to you, by the way. And thanks to them for sponsoring this social media check-in. But just think about it from a job point of view, right? You're hiring somebody for a job. They sit there and they blow the interview. They get nasty with you. They wind up rambling and forgetting what they're trying to say. Do you give that person the job? And do you replace somebody who you're trying to replace? Like, let's say you're a person who doesn't want to reelect Donald Trump. Let's say you are that person. You are looking for a change. You're not a Trump hater. You're certainly not a MAGA person, but you want to change. You feel like we need change in America, so you're going to vote against Donald Trump. But you want to make a legitimate vote. You don't want to just not vote for him. So you're not in the rabid Trump hater category. You just feel like I'd like a different president. So are you going to replace Trump with this guy when you hear that and go, I don't, can this guy, I mean, can he do it for 4 years? I don't know. And that's what I mean about going back to that whole notion of people will just stick with the horse that they know because they turn around and go, let's just get through 4 years of Trump and try again in 2024. I'm telling you that's how people think. I've been in politics long enough to know that that is the mindset of people. And I've just been alive long enough to know, and I'm, you know, being in the workplace long enough to know that that's also how we evaluate potential candidates for jobs. And I said earlier, you know, everybody who works in corporate America will turn around and say that there's somebody there they can't believe is still working there. They just can't believe it. Whether they've been there too long or they're just not good at their job, or they go, how is this person here? Because once somebody's in, it's just harder to get rid of them. That's why incumbents get reelected. It's why presidents get reelected. I mean, realize this now. The last time we had a one-term president was Jimmy Carter. Think about that for a second, because we like to keep the guy in the job. It's Americans like that. Ronald Reagan, I'm sorry, George H.W. Bush was one term. So go back to George W. Bush. That's a long time ago. You go back to him, 1992. You got to go back to 1992 to get the last time we had a one-term president. Last time you had a one-term Democrat was Jimmy Carter, meaning that this goes for both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats. Reagan got reelected. George H.W. Bush lost. But, you know, Bill Clinton got reelected. And then George W. Bush got reelected. And then Barack Obama got reelected. We like incumbents. Democrats like their incumbents, Republicans like their incumbents, Americans just like incumbency. Because it's just harder to replace somebody. We don't know. We kind of all do that in life, you know? You dream about maybe, leaving your husband, the deadbeat, but then you turn around and go, I don't know, what's out there? I don't know. It's just how people think. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. It takes a very courageous for people to leave a job and go explore something unknown, leave their spouse and go try it on their own. It takes a lot of courage. We just don't, we like familiarity is what we like. And Joe Biden does not offer enough of a contrast to Donald Trump in that realm. So people are going to hear Biden go, ah, there's a guy out there. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210 is the number. You know, as we talk about everything that we're talking about in these crazy times that we're living in, I keep thinking to myself about, are we going to be home again this winter? Are more lockdown orders coming? I don't know, but all I know is that if you are, your electric bill is going to go down with USA Insulation. That's all I know. I've been spending more time in the house than ever before, you know, doing the show at home and then working from home. You're probably in that boat. How is your air conditioner? Is it running all the time because you have a terrible insulation problem? If you have an older home, you have an insulation problem. If the air conditioner is constantly running, but the house never seems to get cooler, especially upstairs. And USA Insulation will come to your home and fix that problem once and for all by injecting their premium foam into your walls from the outside. And when they do that, it creates a foam barrier that keeps that muggy heat out, keeps that nice cold air that you're paying for in. That's right. Right now, they're going to insulate your attic for free. That's right, for free, with a whole home insulation. So do that today. Go to usainsulation.net. usainsulation.net. It has saved me money every single month since we had USA Insulation do the insulation and fix our problem. And the upstairs is so much more comfortable now. I used to have to keep the thermostat at 66 degrees. Could you imagine that? What a waste of money. 267-551-1900, 267-551-1900, or usainsulation.net, usainsulation.net.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All righty. Let's see now as the show progresses here. Let me see. Sorry, I was just checking my text messages from Greg Stocker, the executive producer of the program, who was mocked viciously on social media yesterday for his horrible choice in Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. So
there's no reason to say horrible. I mean, it's my opinion, right? I'm allowed to give an opinion every once in a while, right?
You're allowed to give an opinion, even though it's a terrible opinion. You're allowed to give it. You have the right to give it if that's what you're asking.
Sure. I mean, I don't know how serious I was about those, you know, I just feel like I threw it out there. It was very put together quick because we were talking about Kindergarten Cop being,
being unwoke.
Censored in Portland now. It's not being censored because it shows a police state in schools or whatever that nonsense is.
Yeah, it's too pro-police and the militarization of police or whatever it is.
Yes.
Yeah, so Kindergarten Cop is canceled. Canceled. Amazing.
Well, would you at least agree with me that Terminator 2 is better than Terminator 1, or do you not agree with
that?
No,
because it's a totally different movie. I'm not going to agree with that. It's an entirely different movie.
Wow.
It's a feel-good movie, Terminator 2. It's a happy movie.
It's not a happy movie.
Yes, it is.
It's not a happy movie.
They avert World War III. The Terminator becomes his best buddy. They save mankind, humankind. Feel good, happy ending. Yay, everybody leaves the theater feeling good. Terminator was scary and dark, right?
It was.
Horror movie.
Yes. It was. But I don't know how well it holds up. Like, you know, it was made in 1984. I don't know how well it held up, you know, as far as movies go.
Why don't you go back and watch it? I think you'd be very surprised, by the way. You know, Greg, in your mind, it'd be like remaking The Shining or like doing a Shining Part 2. And somebody comes back in time and then the family leaves the Overlook Hotel all hugging. And then they go back there and like vacation there in the future.
Yeah.
It's a completely different movie at that point.
Yeah. No, I get it. That would not be good. I'm just saying. But like The Shining is a great example. Like that was made in 1980. You watch that today, it's as scary, it's as relevant, it's as, like, that holds the test of time. That is a great movie. I don't know if Terminator holds throughout the years, you know, being 36 some odd years old. You know?
You're right, because the premise, what they were talking about, never came true. I mean, we don't have devices in our house that listen to us and record our every move. And artificial intelligence that, you know, people can literally have relations with. You're right, that never came true, and so the movie's totally irrelevant.
No, I didn't say it was irrelevant. I just said it didn't. The graphics and the I don't know. It just didn't hold up, in my opinion.
Somebody now is listening to this show on a smart speaker that is plotting their own death. Right? The smart speaker is like a cat. It always is thinking, "I'm going to kill you if I need to."
Yes, and we voluntarily put it in our homes. I get it. I get all that. You know what I mean? Like. We invited Skynet into our homes. I 100%
into our homes, into our cars,
into our
drive
lives.
Let me sit back, cook for me, just do it all. What could possibly
100%.
Go wrong?
Nothing. Nothing.
And I think Terminator was a great warning for, I mean, not just, you got to look at it as also a warning of automation, a warning of kind of this idea that all the, at the time, computers were new, obviously, and people didn't have them in their homes necessarily, but that eventually we would lose kind of our individuality to machines, really. You know, they would take over. How many people's jobs have been lost to robots, right?
Your point is valid. It's 100% valid. Your point, yes, is valid that it the concept of it holds up.
But I'm like, saying, what I'm saying movie, to you, Greg, is like the modern Terminators may not be shooting us, but they're taking our jobs.
Which is actually worse.
Which is way worse. Skynet figured it out. They went, you know, instead of bombing them, why don't we just
yes,
take over the assembly line.
Yeah, yeah, slowly kill them by taking away their jobs and, you know, their meals and their, you know, relations partners, as you say.
Yeah, we'll become their lovers and their personal assistants, and then eventually we'll just take over and, you know, yes, they'll turn around and go, what happened? I don't understand. I don't get it. There was only one presidential candidate really warning against the automation. Remember, Andrew Yang was, that was Andrew his whole Yang, big platform.
Yes. Yes.
Andrew Yang was warning against automation of things, and then Skynet eliminated him. They took care of him.
He's never to be heard from again.
Yeah, he's disappeared right off the planet. But I mean, you know, in some ways, a lot of this, and I don't know. I mean, in the future, when you can have a virtual partner who, yes, you can power off and mute, yes, kind of sounds a little inviting some days.
Well, I mean,
not?
No. I mean, come on. We both have lovely wives. We wouldn't.
We both do, right? In the future, I mean, Greg. In the future, you know.
Well, I got into a big argument on Twitter about Conan the Barbarian, because I didn't put that in my top 10. But like, right, Conan is a terrible movie. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think it's better than some of the other crappy movies Schwarzenegger has done. I think is probably the point, but I got a better question. You got, yeah, a baby at home. You're the, yes, assistant program director, the executive producer of the morning show. What the hell you have time to fight on Twitter about Conan the Barbarian?
It's true. I don't. I really don't.
At some point, do you ever have to evaluate your life and go, what am I doing with my life? I'm fighting about Conan the Barbarian on Twitter.
I was. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right.
Bill, help me out here. I think this might be one of those moments of a little bit of deep introspection.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Time for self-reflection.
The first Conan, I think they had to put in a different voice because his voice was so terrible.
Well, yeah, his voice didn't get much better over the years, but you know. James Cameron was a brilliant director, though. He figured out that there's a genre for horror movies. But if you want to make a lot of money, people like feel-good stories. And he's made tragic movies feel-good stories. Like, the guy took the Titanic and made it a feel-good movie.
I mean,
yeah, that was
pretty awful. Impressive. Where you walk out of the theater going, oh, yes, it's beautiful. I feel great. I go, wait, everybody died in the freaking boat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Love story, you know.
Felt bad for Rose.
Yeah, it was, you know.
Just a terrible, terrible movie. You're right, but brilliant in the way that he was like, yeah, let's just make this. Let's make people leaving the theater being like, hey, I know the boat sank, but boy, yeah, that love story was amazing.
I know people drown right there and whatnot, but I mean, that was beautiful. I'll never let go, Jack. It was beautiful. Let's go have dinner.
They would have had a totally lovely life together if he had just survived and she would have shared the door. They would have been great.
And people just walk out of the theater going, ah, oh, my heart flutters. Yes. Thanks, James Cameron, for giving us the feel-good movie of the year. Same thing with Terminator 2. It's like, here's this robot who decides to go into the fire by himself, gives the thumbs up sign as he kills himself. And we all go, oh, that was great. Boy lost his robot buddy. But don't worry, we'll get him a smart speaker in about 10 years. We're all good. It's all good. Kid's like father figure because his other dad was killed by him. Think of how twisted this is, right? This kid has to watch as his robot bestie takes his own life. The robot bestie who killed his dad. How many issues does this John Connor kid have, right?
I mean,
but it's a feel-good movie. Everyone walked out there and go, oh, it was amazing. I feel great. Let's go have a drink. They averted World War III. How the hell does James Cameron pull that off? That is a talent right there.
Yeah, it is.
Very good.
Man, I'll tell you what. Ah, yes. 855-839-1210. In a few minutes, Jimmy Failla will be here. We'll say hello to Jimmy. Jimmy will be filling in for me next week. What days is Jimmy filling in, Greg?
Thursday and Friday of next week, he'll be nice. he'll be guest hosting. Monday, Tuesday we have Michael Pelka. Wednesday we have Dr. Maz. So it's a nice and I will be here all week too. So it'll be a nice breath of different guest hosts during the week.
Yes, I always agree with that kind of stuff. You got to have a good diversity of guest hosts.
Absolutely.
So that the audience doesn't like any of them too much.
I don't know if that's the reason.
That's my reason. My reason right there. It's the same reason why when I get a call from Rich Cementa, Levin's producer, he's like, can you do this one night? And I go, yeah, but then every other night it's somebody else because they don't want you to like the other person better than them. That's the mistake that they made with me. They put me in for like 2 weeks. So I'm just saying, you know.
Okay, I feel like it's a good way to listen to a bunch of different people, but if you think that it's more job security, then that's fine.
It's protecting the Zeoli Army's emotions.
I don't want to have that guest host
go into molten lava and self-destruct,
you have to worry about that.
They like him too much. You know, it's the least I can do, because if I'm going to take off, what I don't want to do is have a boring or horrible guest host, because that's just painful, you know what I mean? So it's the balance of putting in somebody good, but somebody that, you know, you're not going to love too much. And these are all incredibly talented people. So you have to just limit the time that they're on. That's the only way you can do it.
No, it's not. Well, we want somebody who understands the show and who fits in as best they can to the, what the show is about. What is the show about? Because I still can't figure it out. I don't know.
This is a show about nothing. I still can't figure out what the show is.
That was a different show. Let me say,
I don't know what this is, by the way.
It's a funny, irreverent, sometimes take on politics, right? I mean, that's what
you sound like the guy explaining the New Yorker cartoon to Elaine in Seinfeld, by the way. All right, listen, here's the deal. 855-839-1210. I'll talk to Jimmy in a moment. I think Biden is bad. And that's why I've told you, I wonder about the VP pick. I wonder what little games and shenanigans they're going to pull. And I would tell you this, one thing I've learned in life, being in politics and just living, is don't underestimate the power of surprise, because surprises in politics happen all the time. I was there when they pulled out Robert Torricelli from the race for U.S. Senate because Doug Forrester was going to beat him and replaced him with Frank Lautenberg. And I was right there in the mix of that in New Jersey politics, one of the most infamous cases. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court. It was amazing how they did that at the last minute. But that's why I always tell you, the best thing you can do is to think about every possibility so you're not surprised. That's what you do. Listen, Cherry Hill Volvo, my friends over there, what great people they are. Relationships matter in life, and they know that. And that's why Cherry Hill Volvo has some amazing specials right now for you, including things like loyalty incentives. And if you are a new Cherry Hill Volvo customer, they have also great incentives as well. They want to take care of the people that keep coming back, because that's what it's about, relationships. But they want to start a relationship with you. So how does 0% financing sound, right? How does some really great lease incentives sound? The management makes all the decisions at Cherry Hill Volvo. And it's a small family company. So go see them. They're right over the bridge on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. And they're minutes away from everywhere. Judith Krupnik, my dear friend, who's wonderful. And the entire team. Yosef, the general sales manager. They want to take care of you. And you know, I love the safety, the security, and the luxury of Volvo. I love driving my Volvo knowing that on a day like today, when there's rain and everything like this, I'm safe. A lot of idiots on the road, if you haven't noticed. Volvo has all kinds of great safety features to make sure that your trip is safe. So go visit them today, Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter, on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, Cherry Hill Volvo.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I mentioned earlier to you that Bane de Blasio has shut off his city, cordoned off New York City to outsiders. You'll have to pass through checkpoints, show your papers if you want to come to New York City. Well, there's a man who's up there broadcasting every day out of New York City. He used to drive a cab up there, and he's the host of Fox Across America every day from 12 to 3 on Fox News Radio. Jimmy Failla, my man, the commandant of the Zeoli Navy. How are you, brother?
We're back in port. The Navy is back.
We sure are.
I love de Blasio with these checkpoints, by the way. You mentioned that. He's doing this as if anybody wants to come here. Nobody wants to come here right now with him running this party. And the thing is, this is like me putting up a barrier outside my house so Beyonce doesn't climb into my bedroom. Like, it wasn't happening. You understand? Like, we're defending against things that are never going to happen, you know?
And it's true. It's like you look around and you go, who's trying to come to New York City right now? I think it's literally the last place I would want to go at this point if I had to go anywhere. No offense, Jimmy, but it's the last place I'd want to go. If you said, come to New York, let's have a drink together, I'd go, no, not even an option. We're not doing that.
Yeah. Have you seen, I'm not even kidding, because I did spend a lot of time driving a cab, and the way my radio show is going this week, I'll probably be driving a cab again soon. But no, for real. I don't know if you've seen, like, New York City above, like, 125th, like, Morningside Heights. Like, Morningside Heights is where SEAL Team 6 goes to get scared. Like, it's bad, man. You have to see it. Like, chickens in the street, garbage everywhere. It's like, we just gave up. And, like, that's, I think, the big challenge for New York right now is we're normally all worried about, like, terrorist attacks. But I think at this time around, a terrorist would show up and think somebody already hit the place and just leave.
Maybe that's weird. The defense plan they have in place right now.
Yeah, they're like, we're faking them out. This is like, you know, the old Bugs Bunny thing where they would, like, paint a picture on the side of the road of another road, and then the bad guys would run into that. It's kind of what we're doing. It's bad.
We're trashing New York City so the terrorists go, all right, our job's done here. Let's go back.
We got them. It's crazy.
It's a damn shame what's happened to that city. My dad used to be a cop up there, and he used to tell me stories of what the Lower East Side was like in the 1970s with shootouts in the streets and everything. And that's exactly what's going on again in New York City. It's unreal.
Yeah, this is who's being hurt the most. It's like, I feel bad for the people who manufacture the video game Grand Theft Auto because no one's buying it anymore because they get to live it every day. Like, we used to sell, 2 million copies of that game a year, but now it really is. Like, if you're down with a cop in the 70s, it's like Throwback Thursday. He would totally get it because it's bad, dude. Like, my brothers are city cops, too, and I can tell you a really quick, a funny story that, as a guy who grew up doing stand-up comedy, my one brother was in Midtown North, and he called me up the first day on the job, like, to wish him good luck and all of that. And our days were, like, identical. It was, like, amazing. I was like, hey, man, how's it going so far? He was like, good. I just spent the last 2 hours trying to see if this guy had weed on him. Then I was following a hooker for 2 blocks. And I was like, oh, my gosh, me too, And so awkward.
Me too, but for totally different reasons. The exact opposite reason.
Yeah, but I get it. I feel
all right, now, are you doing your Fox News radio show, Fox Across America, from 12 to 3 every day? Are you doing that in the Fox News studios?
No, they have me in a home studio on Long Island because we're doing like a social distancing thing.
Right.
So they have our building at like 5% capacity right now. Like most people you're watching on Fox are broadcasting out of their living rooms. Like right now for the last 2 months, Fox looks like OAN, does normally. Like everybody's home. I'm just kind of hanging. See a dog walk by in the background. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I didn't realize Ainsley had a horse. Who knew? You know what I mean? It's like in the living room of all places.
I got to play defense because, my kid is like, he's like me. He's 11. I got to make sure he doesn't like walk through the Fox Nation feed with a beer in his hand or anything. People are starting to talk. You know what I'm saying, Zioli?
Here, Daddy. Here you go. Wet the whistle, Daddy. Take your medicine. Hey.
Yeah, well, I give you a lot of credit for saying the beer was for me. Thank you for that vote of confidence.
Just trying to help, my man. Just trying to help. Jimmy Failla, I'm telling you right now, it's like with me, I'm doing the show from home. We got kids. I got a 5-year-old, as you know. I got a 3-year-old. We got a newborn baby. At any moment, one of them, the scream pierces through the radio, and cats will scream. Windows will break and shatter. My producer's got to dump that. I'm not worried about dropping a swear word. I'm worried about some kids screaming their head off because they're not getting a snack. This is the new reality here.
Somebody rage quitting a game of Fortnite. I've been there, like the home broadcast. Like my kid will lose his mind because he got killed on Xbox, and then you know, what happens is, like, I feel bad for, like, the spouses in this scenario because, like, you're in a position where you're just trying to concentrate and you mean well. But if she, you know, he starts yelling and she starts yelling, you wind up getting mad at both of them. It has nothing to do with her. Like, it's really my wife is trying to do her job, but that's no consolation. Like, when you can't, you know, you lose your train of thought if someone's screaming about a Fortnite dance. It's a tough time right now, Zioli. It really
is. I get
it.
I have banged on the windows before. I look like Jack Nicholson. I'm like, everything. So, Jimmy, let me ask you this now. The governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, this guy's a real trip. He's begging people to come back from the Hamptons. He knows that they're paying more. They're going to pay more in taxes because of him. But he's trying to lure them back. He's offering them free meals and free beverages while acknowledging his policies of high taxes literally drove them the hell away. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, anybody who is spending, like, you know, $28,000 for a weekend rental in the Hamptons can probably afford food. Like, it's not really much of a come on if you're going to throw them a surf and turf, number one. Number two, I mean, the quality of everything is, again, it's so much better out there where they are. So, yeah, I appreciate the fact that they're at least on some small scale acknowledging what they've done wrong. But I don't think they're capable of, like, the self-inflection of realizing just how much they've done wrong. What I mean by that is, like, people, like, the city really is bad. Like, we were joking about it off the top. Nobody wants to be here. Like, they don't feel safe because they've obviously undermined the cops to the moon and back. And the cops are afraid to do their job because they don't want to be scrutinized. They don't want a cell phone camera in their face at every turn. It is, in fact, filthy. I mean, if you look at, like, most of the midtown businesses are all boarded up and banged out. And, you know, it's depressing. And, you know, to say depressing in a town where the Knicks have played for the last 50 years, like, we're good at coping with depression. But this is a different level of depression. It's bad. And, you know, the people in the Hamptons, that's what he doesn't understand. It's like, they don't care. Like, they're living in their own level of life where they have the money and the means to not be affected by this stuff. And that's the whole point of the Hamptons for them. It's like, remember that? It was like, what was it, like Panic Room or whatever, that movie?
Oh, yeah, with Jodie Foster. You everything would lock down and you just stay in your room. You had a panic room.
These people have Panic House, where they leave New York and go to the Panic House, usually, like, via helicopter. And they're just hanging out, living their best life. I mean, I'll take his free food, you know what I'm saying? But I don't think the average Hamptonite is coming back to Manhattan for mozzarella sticks.
No, the average Hamptonite still – well, by the way, the governor said chicken wings are not a meal, so it doesn't even count. For some reason, lettuce is a meal, but chicken wings are not. I mean, you know, Governor Kenny Banya up there in Albany making dictates on what constitutes a meal or not.
Well, listen, there's been a lot of issues with his descriptions because he's also described his brother Chris as a journalist. And I think a lot of people would take exception to Chris Cuomo being a journalist. Come on.
That's well put. Well, I'm excited that you're going to be guest hosting next week for me on Thursday and Friday. Thank you for doing that. It's an honor to have you in here, so I appreciate that.
Listen, when I found out WPHT doesn't drug test, I was like, no, I will absolutely be. No, I'm kidding. I'm thrilled. Come on. I'm honored.
But we are going to give you a cognitive test, all right?
Yeah. I know. It's necessary. But no, the Zioli Navy is coming, and I'm pumped up. And, you know, we do expect some type of reciprocation down the line. You have to, you know, you have to guest host the Jimmy Fallon show, Fox Across America.
It would be an honor. It'd be an absolute honor to guest host the Jimmy Fallon show. Of course, I'd be honored. Now, you're going to, Greg Stocker, the executive producer, will be here with you next week. Now, I notice on your show a lot of times you'll do things like, what's the best Rocky movie? Greg has terrible taste in movies. Yesterday, we did the worst Schwarzenegger movies because they want to ban Kindergarten Cop because, you know, it's politically incorrect now. But you recently asked people what the best Rocky movie is. Stocker over here thinks the best Rocky movie, I kid you not, Jimmy, Rocky V. He loves that street fight in Kensington.
That's
true story.
Tommy Gunn.
Not true.
Rocky V was the first film where the theater charged you to get out. There was no ticket to get in.
That's not true. Rocky IV is the best one.
Oh, well, you know why? Because we're all of that age group with, like, the Russian Cold War. Yeah. Where we grew up, you know, like, it was like a boxing version of Red Dawn for us. So, yeah, like, it's really funny. like every congressman, like I interview, like a guy like Matt Gaetz, who's like around our age, he's on my show yesterday, same thing, loves Rocky IV because that's like his era. But if you get an older congressman, like Jim Jordan, a little bit older than Gaetz, says it's Rocky I. But I'll have you know, Sean Hannity was on the show and says it's Rocky VI. You know, the one where he gives his son the speech about, I still got a little bit in the basement or whatever the heck he talks about.
Wow.
And did like a Rocky VI. Yeah, that wasn't even like eligible. That was a wild pitch even by Fauci standards.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even called Rocky. It's called Rocky Balboa. It's a whole different movie as far as I'm... It's a whole different chain of movies.
It was absurd. It was absurd. I mean, listen, I kind of get into it. I don't want to upset the Philly people because I love, as you know, I love Philly. Because Philly is like what New York used to be before it lost its grit and its character. Yeah. You know, you still got, you know, you guys have great sports fans. Like, it's amazing that they banned them from the stadiums. I don't think that was for Corona. I think that was for other safety reasons. But I still love them.
Well, you know, they don't want a battery chucked at somebody's head that might have the coronavirus on it. So that's a problem. You know, you got to wipe it down with Lysol wipes. And you can't get Lysol wipes. So that's, you know, it's an issue.
And that is the thing, because even if there's no Corona, if you get hit in the head by a battery and die, they're going to be like, oh, it's Corona. I mean, we know how that works now.
They'll definitely list that as a COVID-19 related death. No doubt about it. Without question. Well, Jimmy, listen, buddy, thank you for coming in next week. Tune in, of course, today, 12 to 3 for Jimmy Failla's show, Fox Across America on Fox News Radio. We'll talk to you again soon, my man. Appreciate it.
Next week, man. I'm excited. Everybody get
next
their
week.
Game face on the Zeoli Navy. We're coming
Thursday
in.
And
yes,
Friday. Bring the thunder and also bring drugs.
No, come on.
Listen, right. I'm chewing my best Tide Pods for that one. Get in the zone.
You're living your best life, Jimmy Failla. You're living your best life.
See you guys. Miss you already.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
Thank you. So I was thinking about some of the politics of the day today. And, you know, Sally Yates testified yesterday. I don't know how many people truly really care about that. But I do know this. Sally Yates admitted she would not sign that FISA warrant application based on the Steele dossier, the Christopher Steele dossier, again, based on what she knows now. I'm going to play that for you in a second. I also want to remind you, Hogan Gidley, who is the press secretary for the Trump campaign, will be here at 8:30. They want another debate. The Trump campaign is asking for a new debate, an early debate, as states go to early voting, which I think is a great strategy. So I'll talk to Hogan about that a little bit later in the show. So yesterday, the senators questioned the former, AG, acting AG here, Sally Yates, and there's no doubt whose side she's on. I think that's pretty obvious. So where she stands in life and where she stands politically speaking, I think it's pretty obvious you can tell that. Here she does admitting that those FISA warrants, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrant applications, which were used to spy on people like Carter Page and other people, how if she could do it all over again, she would not do it again based on what she knows now. And my point is, the government should have a higher standard than that. When they're going to spy on their own citizens, they should have a much higher standard than the standard that was used in this BS investigation that violated his Fourth Amendment rights, among other things. Cut three.
We're talking about using a document that came from a Russian subsource to get a warrant against an American citizen repeatedly that was full of garbage. Does that bother you?
Well, I'm not sure.
Does it bother you that the FISA court rebuked the Department of Justice and the FBI regarding the Carter Page warrant application?
Senator, I believe that the Department of Justice and the FBI have a duty of candor with the FISA court.
Do you believe they fulfilled that duty?
No, I do not believe that they did. I think that there were.
As a matter of fact, you signed that warrant application in October and January. Is that correct?
That's right.
Knowing then what you know now, would you sign that application?
Senator, I would never sign any document.
So I take that to be no, because that document was a fraud. Is that a fair statement? If you knew then what you know now, you wouldn't have signed it?
I wouldn't sign anything that I knew to contain errors or omissions.
Well, did that contain errors and omissions?
Yeah, and I would never knowingly sign a document.
Right.
I didn't do that in the 27 years.
I believe you didn't know. I believe you didn't know that what you signed was wrong. The question is, if you had known, you wouldn't have signed it. Is that correct?
No, if I had known that it contained incorrect information, I certainly wouldn't have signed it.
Thank you. And do you agree with me it did contain incorrect information?
I know that now based on the Horowitz report.
That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that you lied to the court. I'm saying you signed something that was a lie and you didn't know it.
And that is the problem. She doesn't get that. She doesn't care. But the standard by which the government is going to destroy our privacy and invade our person's papers and effects got to be a whole lot higher standard than this. And that's the point. That is the point, that what these people engaged in spying on American citizens with flimsy, false information, that is the problem. And she looks back on it, she acts like, well, I didn't know at the time. That's exactly what we're saying. You just went with the BS and used that to spy on an American citizen. And that is a problem for everybody. And liberals should be outraged by this, because liberals used to care about this kind of stuff before they became giant hypocrites. True liberals do, by the way, but a lot of them, there's not many of them left. But if you're a true liberal, you should be outraged over this. The idea that your government is going to use flimsy, hearsay, BS, politically funded evidence as a basis by which to spy on Americans. Come on. Come on, man. To quote Joe Biden, come on, man. This is a little bit here of more of Sally Yates. And this is, I'm sorry here. This is where she talks about how Comey went rogue. This is a Fox News network little piece here. They're the only network that cover this part of it, where she admits that, yes, former FBI Director James Comey did go rogue, in fact. Cut number five.
Chairman Lindsey Graham dove in head first, grilling Sally Yates about that now infamous Oval Office meeting with President Obama and FBI Director James Comey on January 5th, 2017.
Did Comey go rogue?
You could use that term, yes.
Finally.
That wasn't the only criticism Yates had for Comey. She claims he blindsided her by failing to share information about Michael Flynn, a key figure in Crossfire Hurricane, and his conversations with the Russian ambassador.
This was the first I had heard of the calls between Flynn and Kislyak. I was really surprised. I was frankly irritated with Director Comey.
Yates claims Comey never offered a full explanation. And she saved her harshest criticism for Flynn himself, accusing him of neutering President Obama's foreign policy towards Russia and insisting the FBI was right to interrogate him.
What we were worried about was that he was undercutting Obama policy. And then he was covering it up.
But it was a tale of two hearings, Democrats and Republicans failing to agree even on what they're supposed to be investigating.
The Mueller investigation uncovered more than 120 contacts between the Trump campaign and individuals linked to Russia, revealing that the Trump campaign knew about, welcomed, and expected it would benefit electorally from Russia's interference.
In a boost for committee Republicans, Yates confirmed the Steele dossier, a key piece of evidence used to approve a 2016 FISA warrant for Carter Page, was deeply flawed.
If I had known that it contained incorrect information, I certainly wouldn't have signed.
And do you agree with me it did contain incorrect information?
I know that now based on the Horowitz report.
Mike Lee is a United States senator, one of my favorite senators. Guy's a true conservative, real, you know, fights for liberty. He was going back and forth with her yesterday. I'm not going to play the exchange, but he said, you know, do you think protocol was violated here? Do you think that they didn't follow the rules? And Sally Yates admits yes. Again, if you love the Constitution, if you love liberty, if you don't like the idea of the government spying on its own citizens and completely, completely destroying the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, if you like those things and you want to prevent authoritarianism, you should be outraged by this kind of crap. This is what I mean. I said this earlier regarding the checkpoints in New York. You turn on MSNBC and they come up with all their crazy conspiracy theories about authoritarianism that isn't actually happening. Trump's going to use the law enforcement in Portland to take over the country and cancel the election. You'll turn on MSNBC today and, you know, that fat Steve Schmidt will be going on about how Trump is going to cancel the election. He's going to lock himself in the basement of the White House. He's going to have the Secret Service arrest Joe Biden. Crazy conspiracy nut stuff. It's just mainstream on that channel, that network all day. And they accuse constantly Brian Stelter on CNN, you know, this creeping authoritarianism that's happening under Trump. Where is this authoritarianism? You got a mayor of New York City who's now going to have checkpoints like we're East Germany, completely unconstitutional. Americans have a right to travel freely, unencumbered. The state doesn't have a right to just stop you. It's a violation, again, of the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. So you have real authoritarianism happening in this country. You've got this government that used the flimsiest data in the world to then spy on Americans without any due process. That's real authoritarianism. And crickets on the left. Crickets. They don't say a damn word about it. They don't say anything about it. I don't understand for the life of me how they can look themselves in the mirror. I guess the paycheck's enough. Their job is to go on TV and warn about the creeping authoritarianism and come up with all kinds of wacky scenarios that spend all day with their imagination of what Trump could do today, put bars on the windows and not give anybody the key so the windows can't open and they can't get him out. Nonsense. You know, Brian Stelter, who's worried about finding his missing homework, and he's sitting there warning everybody about authoritarianism. This is actual authoritarianism. Where are you guys actually concerned by this stuff? And, you know, it's the entire FISA process was such a joke, and they lied to these judges, and it's something every American should be outraged by. But, of course, in our day and age where you got to put on your jersey and you got to be on your team, we just look the other way on that stuff. Oh, checkpoints in an American city, stopping Americans without due process. Don't worry about it. There was a time when the left was outraged over something called stop and frisk. You remember that? Now, who was also outraged on our side of the aisle about stop and frisk? Me, because the way it was being applied was not constitutional whatsoever. Isn't this the same thing as like stop and frisk? I mean, you're going to just stop people that look suspicious or, I don't know, look like they have COVID or something, and de Blasio is going to... Here, Bill, play the clip of New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio again. This is him now with his checkpoints. Cut two.
New York State was right to put a 14-day mandatory quarantine in place. We need to make sure that quarantine becomes stronger every day, that law comes to life more every day. So starting today, we're going to do something new in New York City. We will have checkpoints at key entry points to the city. Travelers coming in from those states will be given information about the quarantine. They will be reminded that it is required, not optional. They'll be reminded that failure to quarantine is a violation of state law, and it comes with serious penalties. In fact, under certain circumstances, the fines can be as high as $10,000. So this is serious stuff. And it's time for everyone to realize it. If we're going to hold at this level of health and safety in the city and get better, we have to deal with the fact that the quarantine must be applied consistently to anyone who's traveled.
So we're just going to randomly stop American citizens and just have the state come and start asking them questions about where they've been. And yet the left will remain silent and come up with more crazy theories today about what Trump will do. Here's little Brian Stelter from CNN. Upset that his math tutor canceled on him. Very upset about how he's going to be having to do his prom virtually this year, because he's really, I mean, you know, Greg, the virtual prom is not easy.
It's not. Especially, you know, he's hoping, you know, prom night. You know what happens on prom night? I guess it's not, you know.
How are we going to go to the Jersey Shore after? And we're going to stay at a motel. And I don't know. I was hoping to get my first kiss. I was really hoping for this.
Really hard. It's really hard to do virtually.
Little Stelter was really excited to finally break
no,
free.
And, no, you know, that is not. I mean, come on. Little
take a listen.
The New York Times called it Trump's campaign to undercut democracy. And you can say it was just a tweet, and you can say he was just kidding. It is still creeping authoritarianism, even if the guy is joking. Of course, the good news this week is the Republicans did immediately challenge Trump's musing about delaying the election. And more good news, news outlets did a really good job of truth squatting right away, immediately pointing out in the headlines that Trump didn't have the authority to delay anything anyway. But it's August 2nd.
Yes.
The election is November 3rd.
And I go back to school in There's 2 weeks.
Oh, that's not right. No, come on.
See you in September. I love that commercial. It always reminds me to get Arby's before I go to the lunch line.
Oh, my.
It's terrible. Is that the end of the clip?
Still a little bit more.
It's going to be three more months of this. Three more months of the lies.
Three more months of me doing school virtually. I can't take it anymore. I haven't had any friends. My mom won't let me play with anybody. I've had no play dates. And all work and no play virtually makes little Stelter a very, very bad boy.
No, it's not. No.
And even if he's joking about it, I can say we got authoritarianism. I got to step back from the mic so I don't peek here. So let me try this. Even if he's joking about authoritarianism, it's still a problem.
Much better.
Thank
Much
you.
Better, like, by the way.
How is joking about something creeping authoritarianism? It's a friggin' joke. He admits that. Even if it's a joke, even. I'll tell you what.
That voice is like, this is not, like, I'm going to make this statement. It has nothing to do with politics. It's more of just a TV thing. Like, his voice is so annoying. Like, I don't know how he got a TV anchor job. I really don't.
I know. And when, he tries to make it deeper, Greg.
Yes, he does.
He tries that.
Yes. But then when he gets all, like, you know, in this clip, he was accused of, like, pounding the desk or whatever. But, like, even when he raises his voice or is really passionate about something, it's worse because his voice goes up. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
What he winds up doing is he starts out like this, like, hey, ladies, good to see you today in Econ 101 and what do you mean I don't have my book? I need my book. They didn't tell me to bring my textbook. They didn't tell me. Oh, man. You know, you go, okay, easy. Easy.
Easy, Bri.
We'll get it. Bri. We'll call your mom. We'll have her bring your textbook. It's okay. Deep breath. Deep breath, little buddy. Deep breath. Bill, start the clip over. You'll see that, like, in the first couple seconds. He starts trying to sound deep. Go ahead.
The New York Times called it Trump's campaign to undercut democracy. And you can say it was just a tweet, and you can say he was just kidding. It is still creeping authoritarian.
I don't like bullies, and he's bullying me, and with his jokes, and his, I don't like it.
Don't like it.
And you can say that you were giving me, you said you were going to give me a wedgie. It's the same thing as giving me a wedgie. It's the same thing. This is the CNN media guy. They're unbiased media analyst over at CNN. Totally unbiased. But yeah, it's a great question, how he got a TV gig like this, a high-paying gig on CNN where he's, you know, people walking through airports are going, what the hell was that sound?
Where the medium is, and look, you know, like, you know, I'm not God's gift to women, but like when the medium is really a voice or look, like, he has neither of those things. How did he get a job as a TV anchor? I just don't know that.
Yeah, he looks like George Costanza with a really high, annoying, screechy voice.
Exactly.
And they went, oh, he's perfect for television.
Perfect.
This guy must have the greatest agent in the world.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And he's on Sunday mornings when arguably most people, you know, all the Sunday shows, that's the big, you know, those are the big mornings, you know, late mornings for, you know, TV news stuff. So he has a pretty high profile gig. And yeah, I don't understand how he did it.
So you're walking through the airport and CNN's on and you got your coffee. It's Sunday morning. You're a little tired. You know, you got to go to a flight and everything like that. You're looking around, making sure nobody's got COVID. You know, you're looking around and all of a sudden you hear, and then you go, what the hell? What is that? The TSA letting this plane fly today? What is that?
Oh,
CNN, God. America's choice. There we go.
The worst.
Oh, man. Listen, here's the deal. Hogan Gidley from the Trump campaign will be here in just a few minutes. I'm going to ask him if they are demanding now another debate. They want Joe Biden to come out of the basement and actually debate. I think it's a great move because I think that the debates are incredibly important. As I've mentioned to you, we want to see our candidates on stage. It's important to see them. And as I describe in my book, The 7 Principles of Public Speaking, Proven Methods from a PR Professional, available on Amazon.com. As I mentioned in my book, body language, so shameless, right?
So shameless.
So I mean, incredibly shameless.
People pay top dollar for that kind of plug on this radio
I know.
Show.
I know. And I don't do it enough. I should be doing it all throughout.
No,
all the other hosts do it. Hell,
no,
some of the other
true.
Hosts read from their book. I should be reading from my book right now, explaining the importance of nonverbal communication.
No. There's a reason we're there's a reason.
That's what I should do. I should be doing that. Anyway, nonverbal body language, eye contact, responsible for a huge part of communication. It's not just words. That's why we need to see these candidates. It's why it's so incredibly important to have these debates. And I want to make sure that they happen. It's incredibly important. And we've got to do it before Pennsylvania starts early voting. Listen, if you're looking for an alternative to CNN or other networks, why don't you try Newsmax TV? President Trump says he likes Newsmax. A lot of my listeners are watching Newsmax TV now. They really like it, too. Blitz author David Horowitz is on Newsmax TV. It's America's fastest growing cable news channel. Blitz hit just number one. It's been on the New York Times bestseller list and number one on Amazon. And President Trump tweeted that Blitz was a hot book. Mike Huckabee says if every American read Blitz, Trump would win in a landslide. Blitz is now at bookstores everywhere, or check out Newsmax's free offer for Blitz. Get it and save $28. Just call 800-NEWSMAX. It's 800-NEWSMAX or go to blitz411.com. Everyone is talking about Newsmax TV. It's in all the major cable systems. Find it on DirecTV Channel 349, Dish 216, Sling, Fubo, Xfinity 1115, Fios 615, T-Vision 152, and more. And check out Blitz by David Horowitz, how Trump will smash the left and win.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.